Lord, we're thankful that we're able to come here tonight, Lord. As the days draw darker, Lord, each service seems to be a little bit sweeter than the one before, Lord. We're looking for your return. We thank you for all these things and being so good to us, God. Bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. We're gonna continue tonight. I know it's been several weeks since we've been on the home, but I'd like to get back on it tonight. We've had camp meeting and revivals, different things, times I've had to be gone, and I appreciate Brother Bonds filling in last week, did a good job. And we've had a few men preach on Wednesday nights here recently, and I appreciate that as well. And so I would like to get back on this tonight and just kind of pick up where we left off. And the subject that we're dealing with now in the series on the home is on love. And what is love in the home? And so we're going to look at a couple verses that we use to start this particular chapter. And Ephesians chapter 5 and Titus chapter number 2. So if you'll get both of those, we're just going to look at one verse in each one of those. And then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians and try to pick up where we left off. I'll do a brief recap because we did start this subject. And I think we had a couple weeks of it before we had to take a break for a little while. But what is love? And we find in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Verse number 25, if you're there, say amen. The Bible said, husbands, love your wives. And of course, we're given the greatest example in Scripture, and that's of Christ's love for the church. And then again, he tells him down in these other passages, verse number 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So it gives two examples, one to love as much as Christ loves the church, and then another one about loving your wives as much as you do yourself. And the reason Paul had to tell this to the church is because sometimes men have a problem with that. And so he had to deal with it. And then over in Titus chapter number 2, we find where the ladies are told that they have to be taught how to love their husbands. And we dealt with that as well, in the fact that sometimes they're not very lovable and you have to work to love them. And so we looked at that. But Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the aged women are told in verse number 4 that they may teach the young women to be sober. That's not talking about being drunk. It's just being sober-minded, serious-minded. Hopefully we don't have to teach the young ladies to lay off the bottle. But then again, we don't know who you're married to. So, to be sober, to love their husbands. Not just that, to love their children. And then we find where in Ephesians chapter 6, where the children are told to honor their father and mother. In order to do that, there's some love that goes into that as well. And so if we look at love, we're commanded to love. The wife's commanded to love her husband. The husband's commanded to love her wife or her husband. Then I believe that it's important for us when we're talking about the family to find out what is this love. And we began to talk about charity. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to go through this quickly to catch up to where we're at. But there's a difference between love and charity. And so we're commanded to love. And just some simple definitions that we looked at a few weeks ago or whenever we did this was love is, especially if you're talking about towards a person, it's a strong liking. It's a strong liking toward someone. But charity is a strong action. So you can say, I like this person, and you're told to love them. But then charity's a step further where it's an action towards that person. It's more than just saying, I love you. It's actually doing something. And so the Bible has a lot to say about it. Now, the new Bibles, they like to interchange charity and love, and those are two different words. They're not the same thing. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we find in verse number 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And what we find when it comes to the home unit is that a lot of times our own knowledge and our own wisdom, we think that we're right and we know better. Right? and knowledge puffeth up. Most of the time when there's a disagreement in a house or an argument, one of the two or both believe they're right. If not, they wouldn't be arguing. At least you wouldn't think. But they believe they're right. And so this verse, knowledge puffeth up. I'm right. But charity, on the other hand, it edifieth. It's gonna uplift the other person. And charity at times will be willing to say, I know I'm right, but I'm not going to stand here and argue about it. Amen. Verse number 2, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And I think that's good advice to take. But Paul's here talking about this knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Now go to chapter 13, and here's where we kind of left off. And I dealt with several things about fervent charity, and we talked about charity covering a multitude of sins. Fervent charity, and that does not mean that they condone any sin. But when you love somebody and you pray for them and you have love towards them, the charity, the action, then there's things that they do that you will put up with, that you'll tolerate. And I'm not saying condone. The example given is if a husband and wife are married, but he has a bad habit. Maybe he likes to drink sometimes, or maybe he likes to... I'm not saying it's right. None of that stuff is right. But she loves him and she puts up with him. And it goes vice versa the other way. And so we find that in 1 Peter 4:8 and Proverbs 17:9, talking about covering transgression. Somebody that covers transgression seeketh love. But those that repeateth a matter separateth friends. And so if they're constantly bothering each other or nagging each other about whatever that little thing is, it's not gonna end well. It just caused problems. You say, what do I do? If you're married to them, you love them, and you care about them, then you pray for them. It doesn't mean you... And listen, they more than likely know that you don't care that they do this. If there's something that you do or something that she does or he does, more than likely that the other person understands and knows that the other person doesn't really care that you do that. But sometimes they're just going to do it. You say, are they right? Probably not. But charity is going to go. It's going to take an extra step and be willing to put up with that. Amen? All right, so I'm skipping a lot of this, but we've already covered it, and I believe they're recorded in online. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 4 through 8. Actually, I'm going to go back up and read verse number 1. Really, this whole chapter, this is the charity chapter, chapter 13. In verse number 1, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And I'm going to try not to stop at every verse here going through here, but when we're talking about the home unit, you can talk all that you want and you can have flattering words and say all the right things, but if you don't show it and have the love in action, the love towards somebody, have the charity, it doesn't mean anything. What do they call it? A cloud with no rain, just making noise, but, you know, all those kind of things. And we can have that in a home where the husband says all the right things, but if he turns around and does something different, all those words mean nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And I've heard people say, you know, don't tell me, show me. Amen? And that's kind of what this is dealing with. Verse number 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and not charity, what does the Bible say? I am nothing. You can have all the right answers. You got it all figured out. But if you don't have charity, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, we know this is involved with all God's children, but we're dealing with the home and what is love. The Bible said in verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You see a pattern here about what charity is? Charity is not about you. It's not all about what you want and what makes you happy. It's not what makes you proud. We talk about this knowledge. Well, I know better. Well, I am right. Charity's none of those things. You can be right all day long. You can have all the answers. But if you don't have charity, the Bible said you're nothing. Paul said, I am nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. How many times in a home where two people begin to talk to one another and it gets heated that they both get puffed up, or one of the other starts getting puffed up? I knew it would be a little quieter tonight. That's okay. Verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Thick stuff, isn't it? Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Then we read down here in verse number 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And then look how Paul starts chapter 14. After he does all this, he says, why don't you follow after charity? Follow after charity. So we talk about what is love. When you say, I love you to your spouse, you say, I love you to your children. What does that actually mean? What does it mean to you? Is it just words because that's what we're supposed to say? Or does it actually mean something? And I think that's important. There's a lot of people that give lip service, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. Why? Because our actions say something different than what our words say. I love you, and this is what we're going to do, and then turn around and then treat her like garbage. I love you, and this is what we're going to do, and then turn right around and run them down. That's what Paul's dealing with here. And this could go towards any Christians, but we're dealing with the home and what is love and trying to understand what is love. I believe that you could take these verses right here and go down the list and say a godly husband suffereth long. A godly husband is kind. A godly husband envieth not. A godly husband vaunteth not himself. A godly husband is not puffed up. A godly husband doth not behave himself unseemly. A godly husband seeketh not his own. A godly husband is not easily provoked. A godly husband thinketh no evil. A godly husband rejoiceth not in iniquity. A godly husband rejoiceth in the truth. A godly husband beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. A godly husband never faileth. Or what if you spun it around and said a godly wife and went down the same list? A godly wife suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not herself, is not puffed up, doth not behave herself unseemly. A godly wife seeketh not her own. She is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. A godly wife never faileth. When you begin to look at it like this and begin to put yourself in the shoes of this, you start to understand what love is supposed to be in a home. And the things that you put up with in the home with each other because you love one another. And it's not just words that you said on the first day when you got married. It's you've been through things and you've been through the trenches and you've been through hard times. And you get to the point where you actually have love towards one another. And you've all seen the illustration of the pyramid and God's up here and a husband and wife. And the closer they get to God, the closer they get to each other. That is absolute truth. In marriage, however long you've been married, you ought to be closer and closer, not necessarily to each other, but to God, and in return, The benefit is you'll be closer to one another. And whenever we begin to try to please Christ, then we won't have a problem pleasing our spouse. Now, I'm going to do something extremely awkward, which is nothing new for me. And what I want to do, if you're with your spouse, we're gonna do marriage counseling here for everybody. Not that anybody needs it, but we're going to do it anyway. All right, thank you, Brother Bowen. I want you to take the verse, and husbands, take the Bible, and I want you to look at your wife, and if your wife's not here, you just say it to yourself. All right? You don't have to say it real loud. Do what? You need a partner, Miles? He's good. All right? And so Brother Bowen, I want you to look at your wife, and you don't have to do this out loud. Everybody do this together just right now, and say, here's the example. Verse number 4. Andrew suffereth long and is kind. Every place you see the word charity, I want you to replace with your name and say it to your spouse. And if they're not here, just say it to yourself. I'm serious. Here we go. Go through the list. Try it. Come on. The husbands go first, then the wives are going to go right after that. Think about it. Put your name where charity is. All right, you guys are going to separate. Just where it says charity, replace with your name and read through there. And then after that, the lady, you go through, and everywhere you see charity, replace with your name and say it back to your husband. Amen. No, do not do 13. All right, so I know that was humorous to some. But I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this out loud, even though some already did. How did it sound? What was it, truth? Was all of it, was every one of them truth? Or is it something that was uncomfortable saying it because maybe there's some areas that we don't necessarily follow? It is. You know, we're commanded, and the husband's commanded to love his wife, period. In everything, every way, he's commanded to love. She's commanded to submit in everything. And that's not easy to do. But I tell you, when you begin to look at it in light of what the Bible tells us that love in action is, which is charity, you begin to think twice about the way that you talk, the way that you respond to things, the way that if something's not quite going your way, how we respond to things. I mean, things can escalate so quickly by our responses. Amen? And so when we look at it in this light, whenever you say, I love you to your wife, whenever you say, I love you to your children, which there's some parents that have more tolerance towards their children than they do their spouse, which shouldn't be. You're like, well, he should know better. Do we got to go back over the fact you married an idiot? But when we began to read this, and when I was studying it, I did all these same things, and I talked to Sarah about it, and, you know, there's things you apologize for and say, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to do better in the way that I respond to things. I mean, just little things sometimes, it seems like if something's brought up and say, hey, well, this bothers me, and immediately the person gets defensive. Amen? And I'm talking about, like, even in my home. Well, I'm just, Miss Leanne thought I was talking about her, so. I'm looking everywhere. Our human nature, anytime something goes against our pride, is put up a shield immediately. And the person that we live with and we were there, we're in the same room, we're under the same house, man. And immediately we put up this big shield. As soon as something small happens that doesn't go our way, or it hurts our pride, or something. And so when you begin to think about charity, that charity does all these things, and we begin to put our name there and think about it, I believe it gives us a picture of what love should be in the house, what love should be in the home. Now the world's definition of love is way different than the Bible's. The world's definition of love is to love yourself. It's the opposite of what charity is. It's make sure you're happy and that you love yourself. It's not about, is my spouse happy? And am I doing everything I can to make them better, to edify them? Charity edifieth. Knowledge is what puffs up. And so, look at Galatians chapter number 5 with me real quick. Hold your place here, 1 Corinthians, but Galatians chapter 5. We're trying to talk about what is love in the home. We find 9 different attributes here that makes up the fruit of the Spirit. 9 is the number of fruitfulness in Scripture. But we can look at these verses in Galatians chapter number 5. And put them alongside the ones that are there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And a lot of these things line up. So what are you getting at? I'm saying that if we want to be the godly husband or the godly wife that we need to be, it's going to help you a whole lot if you have the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to help if you're Spirit-filled. It's amazing what a difference a day makes when you have 2 people in the home that get up and they pray, and they read their Bible, and they pray together. That changes a lot of things. It's really hard to be mad at somebody when you're praying for them. And I know it's uncomfortable for some folks, but you need to get in the habit. I hope you pray with your kids, but you need to be in a habit of praying with one another and praying for each other. And I've talked to people before and dealt with them on this thing and asked, have you ever prayed for your wife in front of her? And I've had some that have been married a long time, and they say, I've never done that. But I tell you, if you try, you say, well, it's awkward. Try it anyway. And do it every day. And do it every day. And do it every day. And next thing you know, it won't be as awkward. But it's hard when you pray one for another. Brother Tab gave an illustration about a couple in his church that had multiple problems. They were always fighting and feuding back and forth, and they wanted to divorce, and they called him and said, hey, we're separating, help us do this. And he went over to their house, and he got them both together, and he said, before I go any further, I want you to do one thing. And they said, nope, it doesn't matter what we do. This is over. We're done. We're separating. It's over. We can't do this anymore. And he said, I want you to do one thing first, and then if you do this, then I'll help you. And they said, okay. He said, I want you both to get down on your knees. They were sitting on the couch. He said, I want you to hold hands. They did it grudgingly. And he looked at him and said, I want you to pray, and I want you to pray for her and thank God for something. It doesn't matter what it is. Thank God for one, you know, something. And then when you're finished, I want you to thank God for something about her and pray for them. He said an hour later, he got up and just slipped out because they were still praying for each other and just thanking God for something. And when you begin to pray for somebody, especially with them, it's hard to stay mad at them. The Holy Spirit of God has a way of softening a heart and of binding and bringing hearts together. And so when we look at the fruit of the Spirit that's found here, everybody knows the fruit of the Spirit, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you begin to compare this list with the ones over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse 4 through 8. There's some correlations there. The very first one that we find is love. And we're talking about charity being love in action. The very first one we find is love. The Bible said over in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, that charity seeketh not her own. Real love is not out for its own interest. It's out for the interest of others. And we're talking about a home, a marriage, children, family, wife. Decisions you make as a wife and as a husband affect each other, but it affects your children. And so it's not going to be out for itself. And we find over and over again here in this list of 1 Corinthians that it's not all about you. It's about somebody else. The second fruit is joy. Is joy. And we find there in verse number 6 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians that charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. So we talk about joy and rejoice. Charity is full of joy. It's not going to be joyful when there's iniquity, and it's going to be joyful in truth. There are things in a marriage that one or the other, the spouse, they don't care anything about the interest of the other person. There's things that interest me that Sarah could care less. But you know what? She acts interested. And there's things that she absolutely loves. And she wants to talk about them a lot sometimes. Amen? And I don't care. I had to whisper it. But you know what I need to do better and I try to do is listen and care because she cares. Rejoice with her. When she's upset about something, amen, I need to be a little upset about it. Yeah, you're right. That's not good. And the whole time I'm like, I don't care. Amen. We're different. Men and women are different. Amen. We're totally different. But there's things that each other will care about and will be happy about or will be sorrowful about. But you know what charity does? It's right there with them. Honey, you're upset about this, and it makes me upset because you are. Amen. I'm not going to ask any men to say that, answer this, but have you ever been told, why are you not upset about this? Anybody ever heard that before? Huh? Why does this not bother you? What I'm talking about. The third fruit we find is peace. We find over in verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 13 that charity is not easily provoked. It's peaceful. So do you respond quickly to things in a negative way? Are you easily provoked? Now, everybody's got buttons. Amen? And I know what Sarah's are, and I know when and how to push them. And I do it sometimes because I love her. At least that's what I tell her. And Nick, stop. And so, you know, sometimes I'll aggravate her, but I'm flirting with her and playing with, you know. But there are things that we know that upset the other person. And sometimes we hit those buttons because we're upset. Like, we know this is going to get at them. Amen? I knew I'd have to amen myself a lot tonight, so. Peace. Charity's not easily provoked. Charity's peaceful. It's peaceful. All couples have disagreements from time to time, but the question is, how are they conducted? Is it in a peaceful manner? Or is it... we watched the episode of Andy Griffith the other day. Sarah knows every one of those. I don't. But where Andy got called because of plates and dishes flying all over the house. Every time they fought, there was dishes flying. Amen. Long-suffering. That's the next one on the list. That just means to suffer long. That's a hard one, huh? Well, in verse number 4 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, one of the things charity does is what? Suffereth long. I mean, they go side by side, all these things. And these are the results and the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, trying to please the Lord and have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And if you have these things, you're able to turn around and love your family the way you're supposed to. And I tell you, one of the biggest hindrances, and charity is the opposite of this, and that's our pride. When our pride gets hurt, it will hurt everybody. Long-suffering is a part of charity. The fifth one we find is gentleness. Over in verse number 4, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says that charity's kind. All these go right in hand to hand. It's gentle. It's kind. It's gentle. If we really love somebody, our children, if we really love our spouse, we're going to be kind to them. You wouldn't think you'd have to tell married people that. Hey, be nice to one another. That's what we tell kids before they go in the nursery. Hey, can you guys just be civil and not hurt each other in the nursery? Amen? Brother Bonds, I'm sure we've got to tell people in church that before. You pastored. Hey, would y'all just please be kind to one another? You wouldn't think you'd have to say that in a home, but you do. Gentleness. The next fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. So, well, how does that fit charity? In verse number 4, chapter 13, charity simply, one of the definitions of charity there, something that charity does, it says it envieth not. You know what that means? That means charity exercises goodness. It exercises goodness. It's not jealous. It's not covetous. There's homes, man, all through America, man, I hear about these things, and you work with people. I'm sure y'all work with people that hear this, and all they ever do is complain about their spouses. And you know what a lot of it is? There's a lot of jealousy in a marriage. One is jealous of the other one for whatever reason. There's envy. It's not goodness one toward one another. They're envious, they're jealous, they're running them down every chance they get. That ought not to be. Charity doesn't do that. All I'm trying to get you to see through this is when you tell your wife or you tell your husband or your children, I love you, what's backing that? What does that mean? The Bible said in Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. Envy goes all the way down to the bones. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Proverbs 27:4. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Proverbs 6:34. The context of that verse is adultery. Number 7 in the fruit of the Spirit is faith. What else does charity do that lines up with faith? It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. That's real faith. Christians must have faith to please God. The 8th fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to finish this, is meekness. Where does that fit? Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. I hope you can see tonight that, man, we really need to get God. I can't do it without Him. And I'm here to tell you that you can try to be the husband and you can try to be the wife that you should be, but you're going to struggle with it every day if you're doing it without the help of God. If you're doing it without the help of the Bible, without praying, without trying to seek the Holy Spirit every day, without putting on the armor of God every day, and hopefully you're not putting it on to fight against your wife. You're fighting against the wiles of the devil so you can love your wife, your husband, the way that you're supposed to. The last one in the list of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. Temperance is another definition of self-control. And 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that charity does not behave itself unseemly. Having some self-control. Man, that's something that every person struggles with, if they're honest. In some people, their self-control is different than other people's self-control issues. But we all struggle with it. And when it comes into the marriage and in the home, it can cause problems. So we see that all this parallel here between the two is just it's an interesting thing. Let's look at one last verse, 2 Peter chapter 1. What is love? What is love in the home? What does it mean? When you tell your spouse, I love you, when you tell your children, I love you, children tell their parents, I love you, what exactly does that mean? The world's definition, it means something totally different. In most homes, that love, you can just replace it with lust. They're lustful towards something. And when that desire wears out and is not there anymore, well, I just don't love them anymore. No, whatever benefit you are getting out of that person is gone. And that's what it boils down to. 2 Peter chapter 1. There's another list that's given here. When we talk about temperance and charity, verse number 5, and beside this giving, chapter 1, verse 5, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be fruitful, right? Fruit of the Spirit. It's going to take some self-control. It's going to take some temperance and putting your flesh down, be willing to be wrong, even when you think you're right. Amen? Jesus Christ did no wrong, but He became sin for me. That's how much He loved us. And that's how much we're supposed to love our wives. And wives, you're supposed to submit to your husband as the church is supposed to submit to Christ. Those are the examples that's given there. All right. I knew it would be a little more awkward tonight, but let's all stand. Churches and homes need to get back to the Bible way. Why? Because it's the best way. It's what pleases God. And there may be tonight that I'm not going to give an invitation, but it might be that some folks need to have conversations. Amen. And be willing to say, I'm sorry, and I've been going about this wrong.